for those songs and specials tonight. If you would, please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, and we're going to pick up at verse 8 this evening. Let's pray together, and then we will read the scriptures, and we're going to be challenged tonight from the Word of God to speak boldly for the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now let's pray together. Merciful Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy, the promises of your word, for even the opportunity, the possibility of having Christ in our lives. Lord, that you would even think on us as rebellious as we are, as wicked as we are, and yet you have set your affection towards us, you have loved us, you have sent your Son for us, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the day and for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity together tonight, and we do pray for those who are unable together tonight, that you help and bless and heal, but we're thankful for those who are able to be here for the opportunity together. I pray that Christ has been glorified in all that we've done already, and I pray that you will be glorified still. Lord, please move in our hearts by your Spirit. Guide us into all truth. Teach us your truth tonight. Help us to know you more. Help us to walk with you and to go from this place encouraged and equipped to speak boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Acts 19, verse 8. Acts 19, verses 8, 9, and 10. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So tonight, as we move on from where Brother Ben preached this morning about the Ephesians 12, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul, after dealing with them, he went to the synagogue, which was his normal procedure. He normally, as he went into a town, he would, if there was a synagogue of the Jews, he would go there and he would preach the gospel there until such time that they rejected Christ wholesale, and then he would leave from the Jews and go to the Gentiles and preach the gospel there. That's the pattern that was set. The gospel's to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and that's the pattern that the Apostle Paul would typically follow. There were strict guidelines in a village, town, or community, a city, for how many Jewish men there had to be in that particular place in order to have a synagogue. Ephesians was, the city of Ephesus was well big enough to have a synagogue there. And so he was there in the synagogue preaching the gospel for 3 months. I want you to notice that he spake boldly. He spake boldly for the space of 3 months. And this is something that the Apostle Paul prayed for later when he would write back to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. You might be familiar. Anybody remember putting on the whole armor of God? Amen. You guys remember that? We've learned about that, most of you, since you were kids, that we would stand and we would have our loins girt about with truth. We'd have on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, and remember that we would have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? And we remember learning about putting on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles of the devil and we can resist those fiery darts of the devil. But never forget this, because he goes on in verse 18 and says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so you put on the whole armor, but remember, it's spiritual armor, and it has to be empowered through prayer, because we can't fight the fight on our own. We have to have the power of God in us. And so he says praying, and then listen what he says, praying for all saints, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching with perseverance and supplication for all saints. And in verse 19, Ephesians 6, 19, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And it's interesting to me that when Paul was at Ephesus in the synagogue, he was speaking boldly. And then when he writes to them sometime later, he's asking those same people he spoke boldly to, pray for me that I can speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I don't know about you, but when I read about the Apostle Paul and what he did and how God worked through them, I never think of him as somebody who needed boldness. Right? I mean, this brother went anywhere, it didn't matter. Like, he goes and preaches, they try to kill him, he escapes, goes somewhere else and preaches. And you remember when they took him out of the city and they stoned him and the apostles and the disciples are gathered around his body, they think he's dead. Like, he gets up out of the pile of rocks and goes right back into the city. Amen. You don't think about him being somebody who needs boldness, but that's because he prayed for boldness. That's because he had other Christians who were praying for him to have boldness. And I know some of you here tonight, we don't have the boldness that we should have, and it's because we're not praying for boldness, and we're not pleading with others to pray for us to have boldness. Listen, Paul was bold because he was pleading with God, give me boldness. Amen. And he was pleading with other believers, pray for me that I can have boldness. And here's the truth, all of us here, especially your pastor, needs boldness. We need some boldness to speak the word of God as we ought to speak. We need some boldness to preach the gospel and have utterance that we ought to have. Notice Paul said that, listen, I know how I ought to speak. I know what I should be saying. I know what I should be uttering. I know how I should be speaking, but I need boldness to do it. And here's the reality. Everyone in this room that's a believer, everybody watching online that's a believer, we know what we ought to be saying. Like that, it's not for lack of knowledge to know what we ought to say, because if you're born again, you know the gospel. Amen. If you're born again, you know how you were born again, and you can communicate that you know what needs to be said, but what we need is boldness. Amen. Now, I know some of you never believe me when I say this, but it's the absolute truth. I get terrified trying to tell people the gospel. I do. I get scared to death. I mean, we go door to door, and I thank God. I don't even know about outreach today, who got to go, what you did, but I've heard some people give thanks for it already. But listen, people go out from this church week to week and walk up people's sidewalks and knock on their door. And I'm going to tell you, every time I do that, I still get I get butterflies just talking about it right now, just talking about it. Like, I get scared. Like, who's going to come to the door? What are they going to say? What am I going to say? What if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? I mean, just all that stuff. Like, you just did the other day. We're at home. The neighbor's out in the pasture working on fence alongside our yard. So I go out to talk to him. I know this guy. I've known him for years. I've never had a chance to have a gospel conversation with him. I'm walking across my own yard to talk to somebody, and I'm scared. Like, I'm going with the intention, I want to talk to this man about Jesus. I want to find out if he knows, if he's been born again. And I got butterflies walking across my own yard. What do I need? I need boldness. Why? Because he needs to hear the gospel just like I needed to hear the gospel. I'm happy to report that man professed to have faith in Jesus. That he was saved when he was a younger man, and got to talk to him and just remind him of the goodness of God, that it's not by works. It's not by works. None of us are good enough. I don't care how good you are. That's not it. It's not it. It's by his grace. It's by looking to Jesus alone. So be bold. Paul prayed for boldness. He was bold. And this is the kind of phrase, that's the same word he used when he said, pray for me that I'll have this boldness. My challenge to you and I tonight is to be bold and stay persistent. Be bold and stay persistent. Notice he went to the synagogue and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Like, he just kept going and he kept going and he kept going and he kept going, and he was faithful and he was diligent and he was persistent. And I'm afraid that most of us aren't very good at being persistent with things. A lot of us are really good at starting things, but we're not good at continuing things. And one of the other things Paul prayed for was that he would finish his course with joy, because he didn't want to just start well, he wanted to finish well. We need to have a heart that says, I'm going to keep going. And how did he do this? What did he do when he had that boldness? Well, he was disputing. That can also, I mean, some of you are like, hey, that's good. I can do that. That's like arguing, right? I can do that. Debate, dispute, argue, I can do that. It's also translated reasoning. So what does it mean? It means that he was standing up, reading a portion of scripture in synagogue and explaining to the congregation, to the men that were gathered there, telling them how those scriptures were talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He was proving to them from the scriptures that Jesus is the very Christ. And so as he would do that, no doubt others would stand up and say something contrary. And so he was reasoning with them, debating with them, disputing with them. And can I just say, we need a boldness to be able to stand for the truth even when people disagree. Amen. You know, not everybody believes this book. Not everybody believes these truths. Not everyone has an understanding of the gospel, and not everybody's going to just be like, oh, what must I do to be saved? Like, you're going to have to reason with them and dispute with them. And he did that. And persuading, that word means convincing. He was convincing them concerning the kingdom of God. Concerning the kingdom of God. You know, it took just a little bit of time thinking about the kingdom of God. We know something about that, don't we? Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He told people that it's here. What it means at hand, Jesus was saying it because he is the kingdom. He brought the kingdom. It's his rule and his reign. You remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is come unto you. He also said that, again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, well, who could be saved? And Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Anyone can come into the kingdom if they believe. Much to the angering of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus said, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because they knew they were sinners. They knew they needed a Savior. Whereas some of the Jews were self-righteous and didn't think they needed any saving. Therefore, they didn't believe. Aren't you glad you can get into the kingdom by believing? Amen. No matter what you've done in your past? Amen. The kingdom of God, he said to the Jews, will be taken from you and given to a nation that bringeth forth the fruits thereof. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So is the kingdom of God is as a man that should cast seed into the ground. And Jesus gave the parable of the sower, how he went forth to sow, and some of it fell on the wayside, and some of it fell in the stony ground, and some in the thorny ground, but some of it fell in the good ground, and it brought forth fruit. Abounding, multiplying, increasing to the glory of God. Not everybody's going to get it, but it's our job to boldly proclaim it. Amen. Jesus said it's better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Amen. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You come by faith. You come by faith like a child. Jesus said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Why am I telling you these verses? Well, I would kind of like to know, what was it that Paul was preaching? He was disputing and reasoning with them the things about the kingdom of God. What was he saying? I got an idea that what Paul was preaching was what Jesus preached. I got an idea that he was saying, listen, it's not by wealth that you get into the kingdom. The poor in spirit get into the kingdom. He said, it's not by wisdom or by man's knowledge that you get into the kingdom. It's childlike faith that gets you into the kingdom. I got an idea that that Paul was preaching what Jesus did, that your religion and your goodness and your self-righteousness is not going to get you into the kingdom. You can only come in by faith. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Again, Jesus taught that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God will be seen there. But those who didn't believe would be thrust out. He goes on to say, this is Luke 13, 28 and 29. They shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And listen, these Jews that Jesus preached to, these Jews that Paul preached to, they thought they were it. They were Abraham's seed, so we're it. Like, we're in. It's us and us alone. It's us. It's ours. The promise is ours, and nobody else gets the promises. We're God's chosen people. Nobody else gets to come in. And man, Jesus just turned that upside down. He said, no, it's not because you're Abraham's seed. Abraham is mine because he believed. And everyone who believes can come into the kingdom. Everyone who believes can come in. Luke 16, 16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. This is a difficult passage. The same thing in Matthew says, that the violent take it by force. Now, there's a little debate about what that means, but here's what I think it means. I think it means that those people, the publicans and the harlots and the sinners, the Jews saw them as intruders, like they don't belong in the kingdom. But when the gospel was preached that all who believe can come in, they stormed the city of God. They said, if we can come, we're coming. Amen. And with passion and with violence and with force, they pressed into the city because they could come too. Amen. Hey, listen, do you realize what we really deserve tonight? Do you realize without the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ, where all of us should be for eternity? We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his forgiveness. We deserve to burn forever like everyone deserves. Amen. But he said everyone who believes can come in. And so, man, when those publicans and those sinners and those harlots, when they heard that they could be saved, man, they pressed into the kingdom. And you could come running into the kingdom by faith in Jesus. You come running and pressing into the kingdom. The kingdom, Jesus said, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Within who? You who believe. Amen. Jesus taught Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He taught Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And the apostles teach us in Acts that through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. The scriptures have a lot to say about the kingdom. And for three months, Paul kept going back and preaching and preaching and preaching and telling the people that Jesus is the Christ. He's the fulfillment of all of the law and the prophets. He's the one that you have to come to, and you can come into his kingdom. You can be a part of his kingdom by faith. And he kept preaching and preaching and preaching. He was bold in his preaching. So I would challenge you all tonight. Know something about the kingdom. Amen. Learn about the kingdom. Get an understanding of the kingdom. Understand the things that Jesus taught about the kingdom, and then go and boldly tell other people. The kingdom is open. It's available. Christ made the way for you to come in when his body was torn on the cross, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace, but you have to come by faith alone. Amen. And we can go and boldly preach that gospel truth to the world today. So number one tonight, be bold and stay persistent. Don't quit. Not everybody's going to say, oh, thank you. Not everybody's going to run in like the jailer and fall on their knees and say, oh, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's not going to happen everywhere. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's going to be very, very rare. But we have to stay persistent. We have to keep going, keep preaching, keep being bold. Number two, be Spirit-led. Be Spirit-led and seek to be effective. Why do I say that? In our text in chapter 19, verse 9, the scripture says, but when diverse or many were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, that's what they used to call the Christians, the Christ followers were that way. So many of them were hardened in their hearts and they were unbelieving of the things concerning the kingdom of God and Christ. They spake evil of those believers, those followers of Jesus before the multitude. Paul departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. I believe the Apostle Paul was Spirit-led. He stayed. He was persistent to a point. But when God led him to, he left the synagogue and went to the Gentiles. And because they were believing in Jesus, they were able to separate themselves. Paul was able to see them separate themselves from the unbelieving Jews and to follow Jesus completely. Amen. A couple of things. You and I can't begin to comprehend what that was like for them. These people were born Jews. They were raised Jews. They lived as Jews. Everything was about the Old Testament law. It wasn't just their belief system. It was their entire identity. Every part of their life, they were Jews. And so for them to leave the synagogue and be separated by the apostle into something else, to just be followers of Jesus, changed everything in their lives. But it was okay. They could count all that but loss because they got Christ. We've made it really easy in American Christianity because we've taught people that you can just keep being an American, keep being secular, keep being worldly, keep being fleshly in your life. You can hold on to everything that you've always been and believe in Jesus. But I want to tell you tonight, that's simply not true. Your life should be changed when you come to Christ. When you're born again, he's going to change you from the inside out. And we shouldn't be like the rest of the world. Amen. We shouldn't look the same and talk the same and do the same things. God should be changing you completely. And I'm not saying you're sinless. I'm not saying you don't ever fall down. I'm just saying that you should be a new person in Christ. Amen. Why? Because he says so. Right. We're new creatures when we're born again. And these people had to make a decision. I'm going to leave my old life. And I'm going to follow Jesus completely. I'm going to be separated from where I used to be. I want to tell you, the Bible uses that word a few places. The same word, separated, is used in Matthew 13, 49. Jesus said, "So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." That word separate is a unique word in the scripture. It's not used very many times, and it's a serious word. I mean, it's to sever completely. I mean, it's to cut off completely. It's to completely be divided. And can you divide something more than the saved from the lost? Can you divide something more from the just and the unjust? Is there any greater division among men than whether you're saved or unsaved? I mean, that's it. And he says, you who believe, you disciples who are believing, need to separate yourselves from the unbelieving and come on to follow Jesus with all your life. There was a separation that happened, and I believe Paul was Spirit-led as he moved. And I think this is difficult. It's not easy sometimes to know, how long do we kind of stick with this where we're at, and when do I know when to move on? How long do I stay persistent with this friend or family member, whoever I'm trying? How long do I just keep pushing and keep working here, and when do I kind of go try to work with somebody else? Listen, you're going to have to be led of the Spirit. It's the only way. Amen. The unbelievers hardened their heart. That word hardened is a passive verb, means that it's something that happened to them. They didn't believe, and their hearts were hardened. Because of their unbelief, their hearts were hardened. So the disciples departed and were separated from them. Now, does that mean that they stopped preaching the gospel? Because they left the synagogue, they didn't preach the gospel anymore? Is that what it means? Guaranteed not. We'll see it in just a second. But look at this. Paul departed. He separated the disciples, and then he continued, same word we saw earlier, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now Tyrannus, it's one or two ideas here. Either the school of Tyrannus was an actual school of philosophy that was owned by the man named Tyrannus, or he was a philosopher in that school. He didn't actually own the property, but he was the main teacher there. It's interesting because his word, his name means tyrant. So his name means. His name means tyrant. So a lot of people think that maybe it didn't belong to him, but that's the name his students gave him. You guys ever have a teacher that you thought was a tyrant? Like, I got a pastor. That's kind of the idea. His name means tyrant. So he went to that school and reasoned daily there. This word daily indicates that it was a set time of the day, that it was from a certain period of time. So the idea would be that Tyrannus would teach maybe in the mornings and in the evenings, but in the daytime, in between, Paul would go into that place and use that facility for preaching the gospel. And I think that's awesome. Can't stay in the synagogue anymore. There's a facility to preach to the Jews. I can't stay there, so I got to find somewhere else. So now he finds a facility that's mostly used by the Gentiles. And when it's available, he just goes in and keeps preaching the gospel. The disciples who believed came with him, and they continued to reach other people. The Bible says this continued by the space of 2 years. We find in another place, I believe it's 3 years in total that he's to Ephesus. But for this time, he was at the synagogue. And then after that, he was 2 years at the school of Tyrannus. And while he was there, he kept preaching daily, disputing in the school daily. He was there preaching the gospel daily. He was there teaching them about the kingdom of God. And listen, he was there daily. But look what happened. All they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So let's do some deductive reasoning. If Paul is in that school preaching every day, who went out into all Asia preaching the word of the Lord Jesus? Well, Paul probably did some too, but it could not have been Paul alone. The disciples that he was teaching had to have been taking the gospel out as well. Is that reasonable? Is that a reasonable assumption? That if they reached the entire area known as Asia at that time, that if that was happening, that those people had to go, the people who were hearing had to go and teach others also? There's another clue. Remember, he went from the synagogue, which was mostly made up of who? Jews or Gentiles? Mostly made up of Jews, and he went to the school of Tyrannus that was mostly made up of Gentiles or Greeks, and it says that during that 2 years, the word of God went everywhere and reaching everyone, both Jews and Greeks. So it seems reasonable to me that the people Paul was preaching to were hearing and believing the gospel, but they weren't sitting in their comfortable pews. They were going out and telling other people about Jesus. They were teaching other people about the kingdom. They were trying to introduce other people to the Savior that they now have in their life. And they were boldly proclaiming him, Jews and Gentiles alike, going out everywhere in that area, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. There was a separation, the unbelievers from the believers, but it wasn't a separation to the idea that they went into a mountain somewhere, built a compound, and never went out and talked to anybody. It was a separation in that they separated themselves so that they might learn of him and know him and be equipped to go tell other people about him. So there was a separation, but then there was a continuation. They kept going, kept disputing, kept preaching, kept speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. There was a separation, there was a continuation, and there was a saturation. All that lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. You know, I think about it sometimes, the way the Bible says things. I think about if God were to have the Holy Spirit write an account of this church like he wrote accounts of Ephesus and Colossae and all the different ones. Do you ever wonder what the Lord might say about us? Wouldn't it be awesome if from this moment on God could write of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Mulder, Oklahoma, that they, the disciples, went everywhere in the region of Sequoia County and spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, so that everyone dwelling there heard the word of the Lord. Wouldn't it be awesome if God could talk about us as though we saturated this area and beyond with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say we would do well to start with prayer. Paul prayed for boldness, prayed for other people to pray for him to have boldness. Maybe we would do well to ask God to give us some boldness tonight. Maybe we would do well to ask God to give us some compassion tonight, to love him more and to love others more. Maybe tonight prayer would be a great place to start, but let me just encourage you, you can't stay there forever. You know, at some point the Lord says, why are you still laying on your face? Get up. Get up. Get up and get busy. The Lord's convicting your heart tonight. I plead with you to respond in faith and obedience. It's Sunday night, I know that, but we can't assume that everyone hearing this message is born again. If you've never been born again, Christ died for you, and he offers life to you. But you have to turn away from your sin and turn to God. You have to trust with all your heart in Jesus. He said, repent and believe the gospel, and that's what you have to do to be saved. You can enter into the kingdom with simple childlike faith, but you must look to him. You must trust in him. And if you are born again, then we have a mandate from God to speak boldly the things concerning the kingdom of God. So let's pray that God will help us to do that tonight. Let's stand together. As our musicians are coming tonight, will you pray with me? Merciful Father, thank you for the privilege and blessing of being in your house tonight. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. Lord, we pray for anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, that even now, right now, they would repent and put their faith in Christ, that right now they would look to Jesus. Look to the one who died for them and rose again. Look to the one who alone gives eternal life, that they would simply trust in you with all their heart and call on your name and be saved. Father, we pray for those who are saved. Help all of us to have a heart of compassion for the lost, to be moved in our spirit to reach them with the gospel. And God, forgive us when we failed to be the witnesses that you want us to be, that we have the privilege of being. Help us to have boldness to speak as we ought to boldly proclaim the gospel everywhere we go, every day. We thank you. Please move in our hearts. Let your will be done in our lives. Help us to respond in faith and obedience, humbling ourselves before you and others tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.